Welcome to the Guy Code Podcast. I'm the Guy Code blog editor, Ryan McKee, joined by Ryan Ling, creator, producer. And we've got Donnell Rollins here today.
You're actually on the show?
No, I'm on the blog.
Okay, all right. I know. I'm like, production is stepping their game up.
Have you been watching the show?
I work craft services, but today our guest we have, he makes a mean Dorito omelet. Give it up for Mr. Donnell Rollins.
All right, we're going to just start from you growing up. What's something that Guy Code fans would be surprised to learn about you when you were growing up?
I think one of the things that Guy Code fans would be surprised to learn about me growing up, and this definitely isn't a part of my life now. When I was a young teenager, I didn't always want to smash chicks, but I was more excited about the possibility of cuddling with a chick. You know what I'm saying? And I know that's defamation. I don't know what season we covered cuddling. If we haven't, we shouldn't. But cuddling is definitely a thing that does not represent Guy Code. And I think from the age of 13 to 17, because at that time I didn't know how good I was in bed, so my preference would be to cuddle with you first. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I wanted you to see that emotional side. I didn't want you to see that thrashing ass side of me. You know what I'm saying? Once I hit 16, 17, that's when I used to start. I thrashed ass then. But before that, not knowing how I ranked or, you know, what my level was in my bed game, I was a cuddler. And Guy Code fans, you can tell your friends that back in the day, Judge Donnell Rollins, a.k.a. Mr. Guy Code, used to cuddle a lot.
You don't like, cuddle now?
I don't cuddle. I'm a gangster, son.
I know, but...
Yeah, but I don't.
Gangsters cuddle.
No, gangsters don't cuddle, son. If gangsters, first of all, we wouldn't say cuddle. Thug life, you would say, yo, I pushed up on her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was close to her. She was right there. I was right there. But you could never say cuddle. Only thing a guy could cuddle around, like, I was shooting at these dudes, and I cuddled in a corner trying to evade the police. That's the only way you can use cuddle in a sentence.
I think you got to cuddle to start morning sex, though.
No, morning cuddling like, for me is normally post-orgasm. I don't know about for you, but you can't cuddle before you have an orgasm.
What kind of foreplay do you do then?
Foreplay, like a punch in the rib cage. Real Guy Code dude right here. So
what, blow your nose?
Yeah, but yeah, punch in the... You know, foreplay for me is putting lotion on, son. Like, oh, you in a sexy mood today, huh? You got lotion? But that's the only way you should do foreplay.
It's wintertime, man. I like to cuddle.
Yeah.
I got a time limit, though.
Cuddling?
Yeah.
What is your
ten
time?
10 minutes.
Oh,
I'm good.
Man,
until I fall asleep.
So you have emotions involved with sex when you do it.
It's all about me.
Yeah.
It's all about keeping warm.
Have you found your winter girl yet to cuddle with?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, she's listening to this right now, probably.
Good.
She heard the first podcast, and then she delivered me a pair of handcuffs.
Wow. I think it's your true. Defense, you say your winter girlfriend, we're at a stage in our lives now where we have four season girlfriends. Girlfriends that work well spring, summer, fall, and winter. You know what I'm saying? You're only playing yourself if you have a fall chick and a spring chick. And then if you're a guy that likes to take your girl shopping, you know, it gets expensive when you got to buy winter gear. You know, you got to do different things. So it's good to have a four seasons girl.
Little winter shoe sex.
Yeah.
Spring shoe sex.
That sounds like something Lil Duval would do. Shoe sex?
That was your pro tip on season one.
What, shoes? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Get those shoes. Get those shoes, man. You get to a certain point in your life when you don't have time to try to, how do the kids say it, bang somebody's brains out?
Yeah.
I'll shop your brain out. You shop your brains out, but I don't have any to be trying to, like, bang your brains. That's at least 22 minutes. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of conversation, whatever. I'd rather go to Bloomingdale's. It's easy. Yeah, and you get the same effect. They love you the same way. Oh, my God, that felt so good.
Might last longer, too.
Yeah, I know that gives me more stamina, shoe shopping.
you're just showing us a photo of you in the military.
Yeah.
You were in the Air Force.
Yep.
What's Air Force Guy Code?
Air Force didn't really have a Guy Code because if you compare all the branches, they seem to think the Air Force is the weakest branch. And, like, your voice tone changes depending on what branch you're in. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll do a call and response to a stand-up show, and it's always like, Marines, Army, Navy, Air Force. Air Force is always the high-pitched voice. But
what about the Coast Guard?
Coast Guard, we don't even consider Coast Guard military, man. You got Coast Guard, and then you got Girl Scouts, and both of them sell the best cookies in the world, man. But you can't say, no disrespect to Coast Guards. You know, they're protecting us, but when you say military, that doesn't usually go into the most bravado branches of service, you know? In Marine Corps, you always know Marine guys because they always talk and greet you like they're trying to bite your head off. You're like, what branch? Marine Corps. And Marine guys, military guys in general always try to make their job seem a lot tougher than what it is. You ask somebody a simple question in the military, what was your job? I was a 9-2 Bravo Charlie Foxtrot Lemon Meringue Pie Applesauce. What was your job? Well, I was a trash man specialist. You know, but they got to make it seem like it's some tactical unit.
What was your job?
I was a police officer. In the military, we call it 81152. That's your skill set. I was an MP for 4 years, the worst MP you've ever seen.
Worst as in you were a badass or you didn't care?
I didn't care. You know, I made maybe one arrest 4 years in the military. And it was because I was a gate guard. I used to work the front gate. And I saw a chick with some nice titties come through the gate. And I got excited about her, and that's when I made my first traffic stop. I didn't give her a ticket. I gave her my number, and we hooked up. But that's why I couldn't pursue like law enforcement as a career after that. It was it.
And you were in South Korea.
South Korea. People always say, what part of Korea? I'm like, I'm American, motherfucker. I don't think the only American I even heard of, especially African-American, was Dennis Rodman going to North Korea. But North Korea is not a place that it's not too American-friendly there, I'll say the least.
Yeah. You know? But still, North or South Korea must have been a real culture shock for you. Is there different guy codes you learned there?
Yeah, the guy code in South Korea is make sure you wear a condom if you're going to fuck. I mean, that's a guy code for America. Any continent.
Anywhere,
protect your neck, son.
You didn't know that before you went to South Korea?
Nah, I didn't know that. When I went to the Air Force, I was just turning 17. And the time I went in, AIDS wasn't really popping in the streets yet. You know, it hadn't got its wings yet. You know what I'm saying? So the worst thing you could happen was like, oh, penicillin, I'll take that. Give me a shot of tequila and a shot of penicillin. You thought everything was okay. So at 17, no, we didn't have, at 17 back then, we didn't have the scares that kids deal with today. And although I make fun of whatever, that is a serious issue. Mm-hmm. But that is the number one rule to guide code, especially if you're smashing, make sure you protect yourself.
What made you learn that in South Korea?
Some of the incidents that my friends were getting into. some of the horror stories they told me. I'll put it like that. That's how I learned that.
When your best friend said, hey, does this look serious?
Yeah, like this looks serious. No, but you should change your underwear, dude. Yeah, you knew the history. You know the history in Korea, and that would wake your ass up.
Yeah, yeah. We're a mature podcast, so you can tell us any of the stories.
Yeah, I can tell. I mean, anytime you put guy code in anything, that's just ups that level of maturity, man.
What percentage of people come up to you now and recognize you from Chappelle's Show versus Guy Code versus The Wire?
I'll say it's the first season of Guy Code, when Guy Code was still bubbling. You know what I mean? For most part, I mean, the work that I've done on Chappelle's Show. Chappelle's Show was such an iconic show. It's hard for any show to come and just totally dismiss that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Ashley Larry, not just because it was me, it was one of the biggest characters on the show. First year of Guy Code, I was still getting Chappelle's Show. I would say like going into like end of the second season, that's when I start seeing somewhat of a transition. Mm-hmm. You know, I one of the most favorable compliments I've ever had working with Chappelle's Show and Guy Code was I was in a grocery store and there was a lady, I guess she was like 39 or 40, and she was with her son. He's like 13 or 14. And mom said, oh, that's the guy from Chappelle's Show. Then her son said, no, it's not. That's the guy from Geico, mom. Don't you know anything? So I was like, you know, to be able to bridge that gap and get two generations that are so far away from each other to at least know me from somewhere, it was a great feeling. But now because Geico is super hot in the streets now, I'm starting to get a lot of combination of Chappelle's Show, Geico, especially that age from like 14 to 19, mm-hmm. they like really, really big on Geico.
Seems like they'd have similar audiences.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we were talking last week, Ryan and I, how, I mean, Chappelle's Show was on nonstop.
Yeah.
When I was in college and right after college.
Everybody had the DVDs.
Yeah. It was just on all the time. And I think Geico has been like that the past three seasons where it's just on if you turn your TV.
Yeah. Up. And I I know some of the younger guys, this is probably the relationship they have with Geico is broke them into mainstream. Mm-hmm. I know Schultz and those guys, Damien and those guys, not to take anything from them. Yeah. You know, they haven't been on television that long, but I told them, and I've worked on a lot of shows since Chappelle's Show, but no show has really made me feel like it was such so embedded into pop culture since Chappelle's Show, and that's Geico.
Yeah.
You know, and I call it the bubbling factor, the streets. You know what I mean? Like, when we were doing Chappelle's Show, I used to get my reviews. I would go to different barbershops after every episode, right? And I just wanted to hear what the streets had to say.
Yeah.
And again, can't take anything away from Chappelle's Show, but Geico is definitely following in that footstep of the popularity and how like ingrained it is. Like the kids know that show and they live by it.
Yeah.
You know, but for all the kids that are listening to this, we never do a disclaimer before we do Geico, but keep in mind, it's almost like wrestling, you know, it's entertainment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some of the advice that we give you, don't be calling me talking about, I got the shit beat out of me because I pulled my dick out on a girl. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, this, the views, how does that thing go? The views and expressions are not representative of this
of
network.
The network, yeah. Of the thing. I'm
giving you a disclaimer, especially since I've moved into the area of not only being a representative of Geico, but being the official judge. Don't believe all the shit I said, okay? Be mature about it, man, and know when to fall back and use your. The only thing that beats Geico is common sense.
I feel like
so. Do a combination of both.
We might need to do public service announcements. Now, during season 4.
Oh, yeah. Every season, like, every, it's a funny thing. Like, when you look at the writing and everything, like, every time I'm grossed out about a topic, I'm like, that's probably going to be the grossest thing. That's probably the worst topic we can ever cover, right? Then you get a sheet that says, abortion. You know? What's your feeling on shitting in public? I'm like, okay. Here we go. It's entertainment. That's what they want. Got to give the people what they want.
We made you the judge to reverse some of the damage that we've done.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. We're doing a great job of reversing the damage. You know, some of the penalties of Guy Court. If you like to fart in front of your friends, guess what? You get the ass mask. That's how we show how we step. But we out here. We real in these streets.
Do people say a particular quote most often from Geico to you when they see you?
For Geico, they don't really. They don't have like. They just. Hit me with things I've said on the show.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, what are some of the ones you get that most popular?
The only loofah I want in my bathroom is Loofah Vandross.
That's one of my favorites.
You know what I'm saying? Every girl looks pretty when you're hitting it from behind. You know what I'm saying? Anything that has a sexual undertone, those are the ones that make it to my catchphrase top 10 list.
Real moment, though. Do you have a loofah in your bathroom?
I think you're trying to, is this like a police operation? You're trying to get to see if I really represent. This seems like a steam operation.
This is underneath Geico.
Yeah, you're like,
this is getting under.
Really, Donnell? Well, we had someone take pictures of your bathroom. Now, you have an exfoliating loofah pad. You have a loofah pad with special gels. No.
Got the loofah glove.
Pretty soon we're going to invite the loofah in here to testify.
Yeah, Loofah Vandross. A house is not a home. But no, I don't have any incriminating things in my bathroom that would make you feel that I'd do anything against official guy code.
I got two loofahs.
You got loofahs?
Yeah.
You got two of them?
I got two. I got one for my boy parts.
And one for your girl parts?
One for my face.
All right, everyone, the voice you just heard, the voice you just heard is the executive producer, the guy who created the brand Guy Code. And this motherfucker just said, not only did he have one loofah, he got two loofahs.
It's a double down.
For different parts.
Likes to keep them clean.
That's gangster, son.
I'm going to be on season 2 of Court.
Yeah, violation, the violation of the violation.
They dry just nicely. They don't get moldy.
Guys, you don't do loofah pads. All you do, you have one wash rag. You use that until it smells so awful that you can't take it. That's when a guy knows to wash his washcloths. You're like, this is starting to smell like my nuts. I think it's time for me to switch this up, man. And as they say, women front to back. Yo, front to back. Yeah, you got to go front to back, Geico. When washing your nuts, front to back, Geico.
One thing that you're really into that a lot of guys might not think is guy code is cooking.
Yeah. But see, now that's where I'm going to change the idea of cooking not being a part of Geico. And the reason why I'm saying that to all the guys, a lot of guys who watch our shows are college kids that don't really have a lot of money, but what you do have is creativity. You know what I'm saying? And most guys, college age, I say 17 to 21, they want ass. Mm-hmm. Some of them can't afford to ball out on ass, so the next best thing is to cook. If you can cook, I'm telling you, any guy that listens to you, you know who I'm talking to, you motherfucker, you, all right? Learn how to cook. because you could cook your way into some of the best ass ever. Every female, I don't care who it is, loves to eat. And you can take a dinner that will cost you maybe $100 out. You can minimize that and spend like $20, $22. And it's the best creative way to be cheap. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You could, like, all you need to do for a hot date, a couple of nice plates, a couple of candles. I know this sounds like it's violating guy code, but what it is, you're tricking them. You know what I'm saying? You come in soft. Aw, that's so sweet. Candlelight. Aw. Oh, my God, you made this. And then once you blow the lights out, then you pull your dick out, and then you just take it to the next level, son.
Like dessert, bitch.
That's guy code, yeah. I didn't know you're supposed to have meat for dessert.
Like this is the sausage?
Yeah, that's it. Sausage souffle.
When did you start to cook, though? Because for me, in college, I didn't really cook because I was, you know, you got dining halls around.
Right.
But then, you know, right after school, you're broke. And, you know,
It was, I think I really got excited about it after military. Because when I was in military, I was single. So you don't have what they call, like, family living quarters. Mm-hmm. You live in a dorm. So the biggest appliance you have is a microwave. Mm-hmm. So you can't be too creative with a microwave cooking. But it wasn't until after I left the military that I really started getting into cooking. Mm-hmm. And part of it is because I never really had a lot of money. So I really had to stretch a dollar. You know, mm-hmm. I'll do some comedy gigs that pay $30, $40, and that had to be my budget for the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. And you can't have a $40 budget cooking if you're going out to eat. So it was a thing. I remember when I first moved from D.C. to New York, like, if I would do a $30 spot, I was so excited because I knew I could get, like, a 5-pound bag of potatoes for, like, $2. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? A dozen eggs for, like, 50 cents. And the beauty of living in New York, that you could go to a deli and order the exact amount of deli meat you needed. Like, in D.C., you had to buy a whole pack of, like, lunch meat or whatever.
Yeah.
Here, you could be, like, in Brooklyn, you'd be like, I want 27 cents worth of the pepper turkey breasts. You know what I'm saying? Let me get 92 cents worth of the goated cheese, and I can make a gourmet sandwich. But me cooking everything, it all came out of survival. And as I started doing it more, I started watching, like Food Network and getting, like, little insight and little ideas, and took other people's ideas and kind of, like, jazzed them up and made my variations of it.
What you guys start with?
What?
If they've never cooked before, what should they start with?
One of my favorite dishes, I think is so cheap and it's so easy, is garlic noodles. Reason why I say that, because it has, like, a special flavor. It feels like you're doing some gourmet shit, and it's so simple. You can get Chinese noodles, or if you can't get Chinese, angel hair noodles. They don't take that long to cook. You use a little olive oil, use a little garlic, use a little garlic powder. Oyster sauce, mm-hmm. and then, like, some type of chicken bouillon. You know how you have the chicken seeds and put that in there. Toss it. Once you get that where it starts to caramelize a little bit, toss the noodles in there, a little Parmesan cheese, and take a little lemon zest. And if you really want to get gangster, dice up some Italian parsley and put it on there, and you toss that shit, you could put a hot dog on top of that shit, son. Just to be like, oh, shit, this motherfucking garlic noodles are out of control. It's the reason why. It's the first thing I tell guys to do, because it's easy, the flavors are complex, and it tricks chicks.
It's the first time I've heard orange zest and gangsta.
Lemon zest. Yeah.
And gangsta in the same, same sentence.
You're the same.
But it's
son.
Good, though.
You're the same dude that got a loofah pan for each one of your balls.
I got the double down loofah.
Now you want to represent. You just, Ryan comes back out of nowhere swinging, representing guy cut. Yeah, but lemon zest. No, okay, not zest. I'll say like this, you know, put the lemon shit in there. That's a transition.
That might confuse them,
yo,
too.
You mean zest? No, put that lemon shit in there, son.
You cut that lemon.
Yeah, zest that. I mean, not zest. Grate that shit up, son.
So if I'm going to cook for my lady the first time and want to impress her, you know, what's a good dish?
I would say,
easy. Fine, I
would
really
say what's easy. I would continue with the garlic noodle. Mm-hmm. But what I would say, if she likes fish, it's so simple. Like a pan-seared halibut, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Any white fish, like pan-seared, because then you test it on how you prepare food. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The best thing is what you want to do, like a 5-ounce fillet of halibut. You know, you don't want to let it dry out a little bit. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? A little olive oil. And this important thing, like, use some cracked pepper, fresh cracked pepper, mm-hmm. and then use rock salt, mm-hmm. the thick rock salt. Let it sit for a little while. And then it's so simple. Those are only... The only, it's simple, the the taste is clean.
Yeah.
But the key to when you pan sear, people like to put it in the pan and keep fucking with it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Once you put it in the pan with a little olive oil, let the skin separate itself from the pan. Don't mm-hmm. move it too much. You do that flip.
Yeah.
And then you flip it on the other side, son, and then you finish it off in the oven, like 500. That crust, that tenderness on the inside, a chick that knows food is going to, the toughest thing is to pan sear the right way. You can do a pan seared halibut, pan seared salmon, and just throw that garlic noodle on the side. Bam, you're good.
Pairs well with a glass of wine and pulling your dick out.
Yeah.
That's how you serve it.
Yeah, but we gangsters, thugs don't say pair. It goes well. That shit bang out. You know, same thing as pair.
Bang that out with.
Yo, you bang out that pan seared halibut with them garlic noodles, son. Oh. You know, we don't want to get into risotto and all that type of shit. That's what a gangster would have.
That's second
like
that. Date.
Yeah, second that's date. Second. Yeah, then you could throw some you know, some grilled asparagus on that shit and you're good to go. Go some grilled asparagus with the same rock salt, put a little lemon juice on it, olive oil, bam.
Is that a myth that if you eat asparagus, you know?
Your piss smells?
No, yeah, that's not a myth.
No, that's true.
Or her VJ is going to taste like asparagus.
Yeah, that's why you might want to, if you want to do that, the only way to balance it off, if you feed a chick asparagus, maybe you want to make her eat like 2 pounds of pineapple. You know what I'm saying? The sweetness of the pineapple and asparagus, you might have a bittersweet aftertaste. It's like salt and sweet. I don't even want to say that.
Which is pretty much going down.
Wait. She smells like that? Like you're saying if you go down on a girl after she eats asparagus, you can smell it?
I've heard.
Yeah.
It affects the
urine.
Flavor.
And it affects the urine and the color of the urine, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, girls don't, if they don't understand what asparagus does to their urine, they're going to be questioning their vagina. So understand, girl, it's not you.
Tell you
don't
what,
eat
we
asparagus.
Should all eat a plate of asparagus, and then everybody can just DM us, and they'll find out the results.
Yeah, 2 days later, tell us.
Guy code science.
Yeah, but like again, if you want to counter that, especially on the guy's side, you could counter that with like a lot of pineapple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your dish to bring for the holidays?
Usually, I think holidays, dishes, Thanksgiving food is super simple to me. But my favorite dish I love because greens are a staple for Thanksgiving. I like to do homemade cranberry sauce from scratch. Mm. Like, I think it's kind of disrespectful when you have people put all the time and effort in to do some shit from scratch. And then they pull out that motherfucking Ocean Spray cranberry shit.
That can?
Yeah, that can. Nah, you might as well.
Slice it
might
up.
Might as well do fresh cranberry, and I like kale greens. I like to do my kale greens, but I take the ghetto out of them. I don't put like all the pork fat and all that type of shit. I try to cook clean, with, like garlic. What did I put in it? Garlic, onions, maybe like a bullshit vegetable season, whatever. But I don't do like a lot of ham hocks and shit like that. Kale is a great green.
Donnell Ron's foodie.
I'm hungry as hell now.
Yeah. That's good.
You just ate lunch. I saw
you. Because like, a lot of people, like, when people always, when they cook greens and, like, a lot of vegetables, the first thing they want to do is put a piece of smoked meat in it because they think that's the only way you can flavor it. But if you crave smoke taste, what you really crave is salt. So you can replace that if you want to do the healthier side of it. And I found you can find this, like, Asian markets. It's called smoked herring. It's a fish that they smoke. You can just put a little piece of that in there with with the greens. And it'll simulate that same smoky flavor, and you feel good about it, and that's good too for people that, like, are Muslims or whatever, don't want to do like the pork shit. Just put a little piece of smoked heroin in that joint, and you're good.
Heroin.
Yeah, not heroin.
Heroin.
Yeah, just do that, and you're good to go.
Are you on a health kick? You're working out, getting ripped?
No, I tried to get ripped, but I tried to take a shortcut. I got bullied by one of those GNC employees. Them GNC dudes pick on you, man. They just wait for me, people like me, to come in the mall, man. they just walk around like, you want to get ripped? Are you just happy with that body? You happy with your body? You just going to live with the body?
It wasn't until I came in here.
Yeah, it's like, you're going to live with that body? So let's say you get hit by a truck and you die. You want people to remember your body like that? Or you want to come in here and do something about that body? And finally, one day, they bullied me into doing something about it. And I bought one of those fucking multi-pack deals, like 80 pills.
Yeah.
In a pack, and the dude before I left, he said, "Oh yeah, one thing, you don't have to eat them all at one time." I was like, fuck that, dude. I want to get ripped right now. I'm trying to buy some water to start getting ripped in the store. My dumb ass, I didn't eat anything. I took like 20 of those vitamin pills, and I went to Starbucks and got a Venti, Latte, whatever the large size of Starbucks is, the largest size. Yeah. I downed that. 40 minutes later, my stomach started rumbling. And I could feel my stomach was making noises like my stomach started sounding like the GMZ spokesperson. My stomach's like, you want to get ripped? Go to the bathroom right now. You're about to get ripped.
You do not have a choice. You have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, you're going to get ripped. But with that, it was foiled. And the only thing I got ripped was ripped off. But I try to, especially moving to California, it's like they make you look like a weirdo if you eat unhealthy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I try to eat as healthy as possible, try to eat as clean as possible. You know what I'm saying? My my girlfriend is half black, half white. You know, so her white side always telling me, you don't need the salt. She wants to put Mrs. Dash on everything. You know what I mean? So that's one of the advantages of dating a biracial girl and shit. They love the farmer's market, and they love to try to get you to eat healthy. And it's all good for you. And if I want to possibly get a cooking show in the near future, but one of the things I want to do is take some of the things that people love to eat that aren't necessarily healthy for you and kind of clean them up. Yeah. You know?
Okay, so just like this week, selfie was named or voted the top word of this year by Oxford Dictionary. And I know that we talk about selfies on one of the guy courts, gym selfies.
Yep, coming up soon.
Should guys even take selfies?
That's a tough one, man, because, I mean, like, earlier you asked me if I've ever violated a guy code, and I got to say that I have violated. Okay, let me tell you about selfies. A guy, it's okay for a guy to take a selfie with another guy if you're not smiling in a selfie. Mm-hmm. I'll say that's my rule.
Okay.
Don't smile in a selfie. You know what I'm saying? You can't have nobody wants to see your molars. We don't want to see the inside of your mouth. If you take a selfie, your face should look almost like a mugshot. The same way like Flavor Flav looks in the mugshot, the same way Chris Brown and them, you got to have your mugshot face. That's the only way you can take a selfie.
And there's no, it doesn't matter if you have your shirt on or not.
You definitely should not. No, that is a violation of guy code. A man should never be in a selfie with another man with his shirt off. That's definitely a violation.
Why do you have your shirt off anyways?
Yeah, I mean, because it's hot in here, man. Why do you take a shirt off? You know, you shouldn't do that. Never make a selfie with your shirt off.
I feel like it's all an intention. You're either trying to be funny or, you know, look hard.
But selfie, especially if you have short arms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you have like, if your arm span is like 10 feet, then that's enough to look like somebody else took the shot. But, you know, if you like, your height is like Gary Coleman or Emmanuel Stewart or anything, you can't take a selfie. That's a close up. And no man should be in a guy's face that close unless you're auditioning for Glee or something, but that's neither here nor there.
What's the advice that you have on getting successful, whether it be in show business, in entertainment, or just in anything?
I mean, in life.
When people start coming up, like old friends asking you for stuff, or family, or women.
In life, I would say, my phrase, go hard or go home, is simple. You know, they use that in surfing, go big or go home. Like, if you either go big or go home, don't half-ass do anything. I'm not a believer in a plan B too much. You know what I'm saying? And for the kids that listen to it, I'm not saying that's the right or the wrong thing. But I've always felt that if you give yourself too many options, you're not thinking clearly on what you really want to do. You know, and as far as entertainment, my advice would be you have to know how to find your happiness being broke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In entertainment, that's one of the biggest things, because some people try to compare what they're doing to what they're doing financially, and they don't always match up.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? If you can, and it goes back to what I say about saving your money and spending $20 cooking. If you have some talent and you know how to find your happiness without having a lot, that's half the battle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's half the battle. If you're content with that, and you know, you never know when it's going to happen in your career, the best thing is always learning, growing, you know what I mean, and staying focused, and work ethics. You know what I mean? The work ethics are one of the biggest things that stop a lot of people from getting success. Don't get caught up.
Yeah.
Even I'll say this to the guys on Guy Court, that the younger guys, that this is probably one of the biggest things they did. Don't just get caught up on Geico, get caught up on being a craftsman and being better, and use Geico as a platform to get people to see what you do, to get people to come pay to see you in the show, to see what you really do. Don't just get caught on the hype. Mm-hmm. Because shit, we know this business. This shit could be pulled away from us tomorrow. And then what is your legacy? How do you follow up on that? Always try to get better.
Yeah.
I think success makes you more hungry for success. And not in a vain way.
And then you get used to it.
Yeah, once you get that momentum, you feel it.
I mean, you're a perfect example. Three shows at one time, you know what I'm saying? And I know you have your coming up stories. And it's a weird thing. It's like some people's introduction to you has only been through success.
Yeah.
So they be like, oh, that nigga got everything. He got three shows. They don't know about all the times the industry told you to get the fuck out their face.
Yeah.
They don't know all the levels of rejection. I guarantee for you getting Guide Code on, you probably pitched at least 20 or 30 other ideas that you thought were good, but they was like, nah.
Yeah.
And the thing you have to do is keep pounding out. Like, even when I was on Chappelle's show, I was a contributing writer for Chappelle's show, and I would pitch, and man, they would shut me down so fast. I used to call it the Matumbo. I would be like, okay, and then Dave is gonna be on so and so, then a lady comes in, they'd be like, eh. It took too long, right? I was like, blah, 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 and then blah, 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 eh. Blah, 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 eh. They'd be like, yo, say that shit. Neil Brennan, I remember he used to tell me, he said, do that shit 10 years ago, which meant that was the idea that could have been hot 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But the thing about writing for Chappelle's show, it was so tight because they had such comedic knowledge of every sketch that's ever been on television.
Mm-hmm.
So if it wasn't original, it didn't make it. I remember the first thing I sold to them, and it came one night. It was maybe like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was in California where the things I participated in were legal. Mm-hmm. And I was watching Gallagher, right? And I just saw Gallagher, and for some reason, Gallagher started looking like Dave Chappelle to me, right? And the reason why I say that, because Dave is kind of like a nerdy, hipster type dude, you know? And I looked at, Gallagher likes to ride around with skates, and I was like, Dave likes skateboards. Gallagher likes to do crazy shit, Dave likes crazy shit. And then I was like, what if Dave was like a black Gallagher? And that was the two words that I pitched to Neil. I called him that night, and I was like, yo, I got one, son. He was like, what? I said, Black Gallagher. One phone call, they was like, we want it. It was just like that, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah, so, you know, my point is...
Going back, the best ideas are the shortest ideas.
I'm not necessarily the best, but it's the best way to get people's attention.
Yeah.
Another thing, we're going back to advice I would give is be willing to do the things that other people won't do. And another example of that is like a first season Chappelle show. For the most part, Dave and Neil had the power to put anybody on the show they wanted to, like friends. Everybody on that show at the beginning were just friends they were fans of. And we had a comic, I won't mention his name, he was one of Dave's friends. Dave selected him to do a sketch. And this guy did one skit, and it took, we was in this one scene for like 2 hours. Dude could not get it right. This is after I had already done, I'm rich, bitch. Mm. You know, I was solid on the show. Nobody was an actual a cast member, but I was in good favor with him. And this one comic, he bombed so bad that Comedy Central said that they wanted to open up the opportunity to more people than just select few. Mm-hmm. So basically they was gonna start auditioning people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, first thing, I'm like, auditioning? I'm Mr. Rich, bitch. I'm like, I don't need to audition. I already showed y'all what I do. I'm about it. And they was like, okay, well, I had a decision to make. I could go. I could have an attitude and say to myself, I don't think I should audition. Just offer me the role.
Mm-hmm.
Or I say I could put myself back in the name and the hat, go up in there and murder them and let them know we don't have to do it again.
Yeah.
And I struggled with the decision. My little ego was kicking in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck that, nigga. And I called myself nigga with a GA, right? I said, fuck that, nigga.
I don't think you have an ego.
Huh?
I don't think you have an ego.
No, yeah, okay. It's control.
Just kidding.
Yeah, it's control. No, but I said, let me go back in and beat this audition up so hard that I still will beat out everybody else to win in. That's what I chose. And that is what really made me solid on the show. And I think they really appreciate the fact that I sucked it all up and said, go back in there and get it.
Yeah.
You know? To go from your homeboy putting you in the scene to having to go back to casting and shit.
Yeah.
But at the end of my audition, I did give Dave and Neil a shout out. At the end, I was like, yeah, motherfucker, how you like that? I got to audition now? What? And it made me solid on the show.
I remember the day I met you. You had just come from some Showtime audition that you
bombed. Yeah.
And I'm glad you bombed it because you had this energy that I'd never seen.
Yo, that's so funny because, and I felt bad about that because I even told my manager, I was like, yo, man, what the fuck is wrong with me? I just bombed an audition and I'm bringing that energy. I'm like, hey, you said you loved it.
I loved it. Like, look, I was like, this is great.
Look, I brought that.
He's insecure right now.
Yeah, yo, no, it wasn't insecure.
I was mad.
And it translated. It was just like, what, motherfucker? And I think I even mentioned some of the shit in the audition.
Yeah.
Auditioning for Geico. I'm like, then the motherfuckers passed on me. Yeah, I was like, Geico. You know, but it was weird because it's so weird how things, because I'm going to be straight honest. At that time, when I came in for that pilot, I just told my manager, I don't want to do any more talking head shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I love the 80s, the 90s, yeah, the millenniums. I love black people. I love white people. I did so many I likes. And I didn't want to. I was still trying to establish myself as an individual.
Mm.
You know, and I was like, okay, I don't mind doing the shows, but can we try to pitch me to actually be the main person, the host for it?
Mm.
I just didn't want to be in that cycle. Then it felt like, excuse me, so many of the shows are doing the same thing, the same people. It never felt like the right connection. I told my manager, he was like, yeah, do it. I was like, man, I don't know if I want to do a talking head show. And he was like, whatever. I was like, fuck it, I'll do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's just how I'm being straight honest now. I was like, it had nothing to do with you, the concept. Yeah. I didn't even totally get the concept. I just looked at it as another talking head show. And I know when I did those shows, I was pretty good at it, but I just didn't want to be known as the talking head dude, right? And it's so funny that the last talking head show I decided to audition for came out to be the biggest talking head show that ever auditioned for, you know? And it was weird because that the audition that I thought I bombed in, I booked that too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. It was a pilot, but it didn't make it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a pilot with Ving Rhames, but, you know, it's so funny. And for you kids out there listening, treat every opportunity to sing because you never know which one is going to be the big one.
Yeah.
You know, next thing you know, they was like, they picked up that pilot. I'm like, what pilot? Right. And then next thing you know, it's like, oh shit, that's the nigga from Geico.
And nobody knew what we were doing with that. I mean, because I'm not a fan of talking head shows at all. And we worked really hard to not do a talking head show. So it's funny, like, once season one finally premiered, nobody had seen it, what they were doing in the studio, and they're like, oh, this is
something different. Yeah, but, you know, to be honest, it's hard to describe the show, especially like I think every year the show's evolved. You know, if you thought it was just in the talking head genre, then we start doing field pieces, then we start doing sketches, so you can get your feel.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I tip my hat off to you and all the creatives behind it every year. Sometimes shows can be complacent where they just content.
Mm-hmm.
They don't try to make it better.
Yeah.
It's like, well, fuck with it. But you fuck with it because you want to keep giving them something else. And you guys did a great job of doing it.
And season four will be
hot shit.
The next
evolution. When I'm busting shots at paintball ranges and all that type shit.
All right, we have a couple reader topics, and then we'll let you go. We have, this one comes from Kendall Wayne Thompson. And he's angry because he was with this girl for 10 months. She told him that she was his first time. Turns out, she had had two guys before him. But there comes a point where you don't care how many guys a girl has had before you, right?
Yeah, you don't. But that I'm assuming Kendall's probably age 17 or 18, probably from like, I don't know how age. First off, what is his name?
Kendall Wayne Thompson.
First off, Kendall Wayne Thompson, if you're not an actor, drop the middle name, motherfucker.
Or a serial killer,
right, yeah. Here's advice to you. Never ask a chick how many guys they've been with. You know what I'm saying? You can tell. It's like a key in a lock. Depending on how your key fits in that lock, you can get in some of them, you're like, whoa, bitch, I think you need to come clean right now. You know what I mean? But, you know, if you're young, You know, again, I said it earlier, protect yourself. Enjoy sex. Get all those stories you need out now, because you don't want to grow old and never don't have no stories to tell at the bar. You know what I'm saying? You got your guy code now and your guy code when you get earlier. Don't get yourself caught up on how many. You're gonna make yourself go crazy. And to be totally honest, they're never going to be honest on how many people they've been with.
Yeah, you need to realize that Kendall's girl, she says things because she's judging herself more than he's judging her.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to be, you know, called a slut. That's why she's saying that.
Yeah, they never want to be called a slut out of context. Yeah. Now, if you're actually penetrating or you're actually in the groove, you can call them slutty. You can call them whatever they want. But once the sex is over, remember, you can't use that anymore, right? Don't use it in transition, man.
All right, we got Steven Schneider is asking. What
this
is
something, I mean, it's all over the place, but I had never heard of this. Have you heard of Facebook caking?
I have no idea what caking is.
I didn't know either. Guys talk about how much they love their girlfriend on their wall, their Facebook wall, for everybody to see.
I've never known what the official term for that is, but now that I know it, I would say fuck Facebook caking. You know what I'm saying? Because all that happy-go-lucky shit, you got to eat it up when all of a sudden she changes her relationship status and you're stuck up there with all those wall posts on how much you loved her and how much you care for that. Don't express, first off, no guy should ever express any type of emotions on any social sites. Let's just kill that shit. You love your girl, keep it to yourself. If you want people to know, you maybe tell your parents or somebody. Other than that, I don't need to know who the fuck you love on Facebook.
Yeah. Sounds like you do that when you fuck up.
Yeah.
Love you.
No, you should never do it. Never do that, because you got to go just as hard. If you show the love, you got to go just as hard with the hate. And if his shit is over, shit is over. Don't Facebook kick. That's some corny shit. Damn, I wish he was in my court right now.
bring his ass to court. Season 2.
Okay, yeah. Well, we've got to wrap it up. But do you have anything to plug before we go?
The only thing I want to plug, anybody that has become a fan of mine through Guy Court, understand this. We are taking over one motherfucker at a time. You followed us season 1. You followed us season 2, 3, 4. Guy Court is popping. Girl Code, nothing can fuck with the code. End of the day, trust the code. I'm Donnell Rawlins. If you don't like what the fuck I just said, take it in the face, bitch.
The judge.
Peace.
Follow him at Donnell Rawlins and follow Ryan at Ryan_Ling. Follow me at the Ryan McKee, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, guys.